You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
The Sentencing Act 2002, Section 27, allows those representing offenders to provide a cultural report of their background to support the offender's case for not going to prison or for a shorter prison sentence. According to High Court Justice Christian Futter, this gives the offender the opportunity to cut through the normal rules of evidence. I spoke to barrister and solicitor of the High Court and senior lecturer at AUT Law School, Kylie Quince, about Section 27 reports, why they are important and what they provide for Māori offenders and communities. I began by asking Kylie to briefly explain what Section 27 reports are and how they work.
So Section 27 is part of the Sentencing Act 2002, and it allows an offender to call for, in the section it refers to calling of a speaker to speak to their background, the relevance of that cultural or community background to their offending, also to speak about whether or not that background that community will offer any support in terms of sentences that may be available to a judge to consider in an offender's disposition, and also whether or not there's anything that an offender has done in respect of showing remorse or repairing relationships with victims, or if they've done anything in respect of the offending in their family or community.
Is this a right of all offenders?
Yes, it is. So Section 27 isn't ethnically specific, although that's quite interesting. So when Section 27 has only been around since 2002, but the idea of or the right to have a cultural speaker at sentencing in New Zealand has been around since 1985. And prior to 1985, before that provision came into being, the Minister of Justice at the time debated the idea of having an ethnically specific provision for Māori. So the idea underpinning the provision was to address the overrepresentation of Māori, so that, and obviously that sort of social fact, I suppose, of New Zealand life has been around for more than 30 years. So the provision was intended to be specifically directed at Māori, but in reality, for the past 30 years, there is no specific reference to Māori in the provision.
Is this a problem? Does this mean that Māori are less likely to be considered, or does it make them more likely to be considered?
Yeah, that's an interesting point. So before 2002, so the provision of the first the provision which was originally called Section 16 of our Criminal Justice Act, it was very much underutilised by Māori. So the most common offenders who would use make use of a cultural speaker at sentencing were Pacifica offenders. So there was a gap, obviously, in the intention of the operation of the provision and its reality in operation. So for that reason, since 2002, the provision's been slightly reworded so that a judge may suggest to defence counsel, so a person's lawyer, that they may benefit from asking for a cultural report at sentencing. So there was, in 2002 at least, recognition that Māori were not utilising cultural speakers or reports at sentencing, but really it's only taken off in terms of judicial and systemic support in the past two to three years. So there has been a specific, if you like, sort of political push and push from the powers that be in the legal system to really breathe life into the ability to use cultural speakers at sentencing. So you'll notice if you're following the law that there's been a significant increase in uptake and knowledge of the provision probably since 2015. So that's led to the current situation. We've had a number of decisions in particularly the High Court and Court of Appeal that have considered what are the parameters of Section 27? What sort of information can we take account of? What can we do with that information? Does it go to mitigation of an offender? Does it go to their moral culpability? Can it make a difference in terms of whether or not someone gets sent to prison or has a community-based sentence? So although it's been around for the ability has been around for 30 years, it's been very much underutilised until the past 2 or 3 years.
What is coming behind that push to utilise Section 27 now?
Good question. Again, I think that's largely an appreciation, a much more widespread appreciation, and I mean in New Zealand as a whole, but particularly in political circles, of the overrepresentation of Māori. This has only gotten worse in the past 10 years, particularly with quite a harsh penal regime, the rise of popular punitivism, which has had, you know, a huge effect on our prison population in the past 5 years. Female prison population has grown exponentially. It's doubled in 5 years. The remand population has doubled in the same period. So the proportion of Māori offenders has grown not only in percentage terms but in real number terms, you know. So, you know, and this has led, you know, this has led to probably a to some extent an acceptance on all parts of the political spectrum that this is unacceptable. So, you know, that led to, you know, even conservatives like Bill English, you know, referring to prisons as a moral and fiscal failure in New Zealand. But more specifically, it's a failure in respect of Māori. So, you know, you have that from the National Party, and then of course you have the promise of this current government to reduce the prison population by 30% over the next 15 years. That's a huge ask. And also in 2017, the report of the Waitangi Tribunal in relation to the corrections claim, which has made similar statements that position in respect of, you know, more than 5,000 Māori people incarcerated at even any given time in New Zealand, so that of all 35-year-old Māori men in New Zealand, 50% of them have served a corrections-managed sentence at some stage of their life. That's just unacceptable. The United Nations has deemed it unacceptable. We're beginning to accept it as a society and a community in New Zealand. So this is just a small tool to help address that, you know, that terrible picture of hyper-incarceration of Māori.
In the recent appeal case between the Solicitor General and Rachel Hetter, you wrote a cultural report for Rachel. How did this report aid in the sentencing process in New Zealand? Why was it so important?
So Ms. Hetter's case in particular was one you could see in the judgment where, not an atypical case in the sense of her having come from a background of quite significant deprivation and having suffered significant violence setbacks, a pretty problematic relationship with drugs and alcohol. So a number of factors that really are not unusual in relation to Māori who become entangled in serious criminal offending. The report itself traverses most of those issues and is able to give a pretty full picture of this offender, of her response to. So it never justifies the use of violence or inappropriate behaviour. It never condones criminal offending, but this kind of information helps explain it. It's a significant appeal. So the Crown initially appealed Judge Mawala's decision to grant Ms. Hetter a 30% discount in her district court sentence. And the Crown appealed on the basis that they thought it was too significant a discount in terms of how much time that gave her off her sentence of incarceration, and that there was a possibility that there was an inappropriate consideration of systemic or group deprivation. What the big tension in sentencing Indigenous offenders and attempting to address the overrepresentation of Indigenous peoples in criminal justice is that sentencing is a really individualised exercise in criminal law. You know, the judge is thinking about, what do I do for this particular person? What are the particular aggravating and mitigating features in relation to their offending and the context of the offender, so their particular background? Against that, of course, against that individualised matrix is what we know is the collective and intergenerational experience of Indigenous peoples with colonisation. There's a really significant tension there. And so in this appeal, as in a number of other appeals around the Commonwealth when courts are faced with sentencing Indigenous peoples, in this appeal the Crown is saying we can't take account of the general systemic deprivation of Māori people and the effects of colonisation for Māori as a group per se. And Justice Futter in the High Court says this report does not ask us to give us a generic discount for Ms. Hetter being Māori. It says that her being Māori and the effects events of colonisation have affected her in this particular way, her family's attitudes to violence, her family's attitudes to and abuse of alcohol and other substance abuse, her family's difficult relationship with the education system, with criminal justice per se, with care and protection and welfare intervention in their lives. So he's saying that as long as there is information that ties this particular person to what might be seen as systemic deprivation, that's enough.
So it's honing back into that individual rather than necessarily talking about the collective.
Yes, well, it's saying that this individual has suffered because of that collective experience, absolutely.
Just finally, Judge Swana Mwala said that some judges may be more receptive to Section 27 reports than others, but it is important to push towards making it normal to have whānau and community accounts of an offender's background in court sentencing. Do you think that judges still need to be more receptive to these reports, or do you think it needs to become more normal, or is it already on that way?
Yes, I completely agree with Judge Mwala's observation there. It cannot escape our attention if you were to look at the most significant decisions in respect of sentencing Māori. The most beneficial and appropriate decisions in respect of sentencing Māori and using Section 27 have come from Judge Mwala, who is Tongan, have come from Justice Futter, who is Māori, and has come from Justice Joe Williams, who is also Māori. That cannot be an accident. It may be that they have a more appropriate listening for these types of factors. They understand what the sort of information that's been given in these reports. This is not to say that there is anything necessarily racist in the approach of other judges. It's just to say that those other judges probably need more education in terms of calling for these reports, of suggesting from the bench that these may be of assistance, and the ability to understand what sort of assistance is being requested here, what sort of use can you make of this information. So yes, I think Judge Mwala was correct that more needs to be done in terms of not partly receptiveness, which is what she's flagging, but also the actual active responsibility of judges to call for them, which does come from certain judges, but certainly not all of them.
That was a 95B.